ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Clear my path and come get your captain hung. Trying to breathe like black or collapse your lung. Young chunk, you could choke off the web I spun. I done cleared them out from the threat I brung. You done heard about what set I'm from. My nigga, word of mouth, little rule of thumb. Y'all better bow down when a ruler come. I'm a real hood nigga, not a hoodlum. The way Thor put it down, be confusing some of y'all. Cats can't walk while chewing your gumming on. What a keyboard gotta do with a drumming on. School them on stage like I'm doing a seminar. Professional type, I'm adjusting my mic. Go to war, kid, I give you any weapon you like. Give you something to run from, bust off the dumb. Stop, kid, that hot shit, you know where it come from. It's Philly worldwide phenomenon. And reinforcing that shit is my 9 to 5. And when I finish making you recognize, I'm getting at a couple civilized women that's trying to ride. You been waiting on the border, come off the oar. You wanna get the bitches up off the wall, just to see you smile and enjoy yourself. To keep you in health, this for all of y'all. I'm quick on the draw like Black McGraw. And I can't tell what y'all cats rap before. My name BG's and I'm back for more. See me get more chips than a corner store. With a portrait of Malcolm X on the door while I'm eating MCs like a carnivore. Matter of fact, ease back before you get harmed. Ring the warning horn when I'm gonna perform. The first nigga that move or disturb the groove, I'ma have y'all flicks on the evening news. Play y'all part, get on y'all P's and Q's. And when y'all,
yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 124 of the report. We rocking out to some of this old school roots, baby.
Not none of your friends, because I put a black fist under your chin. Had your physical remains found under the pen. If I'm coming up in a place, I'm coming to win. Running in it for a minute, now I'm dumbing again. Read G's, I y'all could chat with y'all. Please receive what I'm gonna get back to y'all, please. Cause you don't really wanna get clapped with all these, my man. You could take y'all strap when y'all leave. You see the squad coming to place, they all freeze. Ice cold with his mellow cool breeze. MC's never show loyalty yet. Cool hurt, ain't never get a royalty check. I do work, no question, and bomb your set. I'm calm, collect, sharp like my name Gillette. R.I.P. my main Gillette. Until I touch the mic, y'all people ain't seen danger yet. I'm a decorated vet, I regulate and wreck. Never hesitated yet, I'm getting heavyweighted checks. If you would dare ask if I'm dedicated, yes, I spit live rounds that'll penetrate a vest. Nigga, take your seats, I'ma demonstrate a test. How to freak,
man, look, let me tell y'all, man, that dude Black Thought is a goddamn animal on the mic, yo. Real talk, man. Like, I can just let it roll. I don't want to play the whole song. I really want to play the whole song, but I can't. I can't do it, man. But that was Webb off of their, what was that, the Things Fall Apart album? What was that? No, it wasn't the Things Fall Apart album. Tipping Point. I'm looking dead at it. Looking dead at it. It's a Tipping Point album. But yeah, man, what's going on with y'all? It's been a couple weeks. This is the last time I talked to y'all, man. I was out of town last week, so I didn't get a chance to do a spare report. And I regretfully didn't get a chance to put out a Throwback Thursday episode right before I left, man. It was so much shit going on where I had to get prepared to leave and everything else. So I really couldn't get that episode out. But I was able to give you guys a Throwback Thursday episode this week. And now we here, live, here on Facebook, man. So I am glad to be back. Glad to be back on the mic here to talk with you guys, man. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We do. But before we start with all of that, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. This area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email the show at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails and I will respond to those emails right here live on the show as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr. Underscore Span. So go ahead and chop it up with me there. Also, go and like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. This is how I do the show now. Like, you can watch the shows live from the Mr. Span fan page. Every Saturday, we do this, and you can catch these shows wherever you are, from your phone, your tablet, your computer, your TV, if you want to Chromecast it to the TV. You can do all that. You can do all that and join us here at The Span Report live every Saturday. And also, you can go to www.thespanreport.com. All of these podcasts are available there. All of the videos that I use that are associated with the podcast are available there as well. You can also vote in the polls at the podcast, at the website. You can donate to the show at the website. You can do pretty much everything at the Span Report website, right? And not only that, right? Not only that. Hold on. Let me see if I still have this. Nope. There we go. We also have the Span Report official T-shirts, right? Now, the campaign for the Teespring.com Span Report podcast T-shirts has actually ended, but I can start this back up again, and I plan on doing that today. So you guys can go to www.teespring.com/Span Report and order yourself a Span Report podcast official T-shirt. Man, I can't wait for mine to show up. They haven't came yet, but when they do, I'll be rocking my shirt here on the show, and I can't wait for you guys to get a chance to get your shirts as well. For all you guys who've already ordered them, they should be shipping. They should be shipping now. So yeah, man, that's a thing. That is a thing. Hold on a second. I'm getting notifications all over the place, and I forgot to mute my damn devices. Come on, Span, what are you doing? All right. Now, okay. All right, so with that being said, let's get into some of this podcasting, man, right? So it was my anniversary, or at least we were celebrating my anniversary last week, me and my wife and my in-laws. Man, we went down to New Orleans for what has become a little bit of a tradition. We go down there during the time of the Red Dress Run, and it's always a good time, man. I go down there, and I have a ball. Like, literally, I have a ball every time I go. And I'm mostly looking forward to the drink and the food, right? And, you know, like, I got a couple questions last week. Folks were asking me, like, was the Red Dress one something that, did it have something to do with charity? And I believe it does. I believe it does. But I can't say that that's the reason why I go down there. And I'm pretty sure most of the people that are there aren't there for the charity. I believe it's the initial run. For those who actually participate and register to be in the run, their proceeds are donated to various charities around in and around the New Orleans area. But for the most part, the vast majority of the people that I see down in New Orleans for the Red Dress Run are there for the party. And it's one big, long bar crawl all day long. Starts at like 10 o'clock in the morning until, right? And I took a few like live videos while I was down on Bourbon Street, man. It was like the debauchery was like amazing. Like, it was like so much shit going on. The only thing that I always kind of like wonder about is, I'm sitting up here looking at this damn, you guys can't even see me. The only thing I always wonder about is there's this contingent of folks who tend to believe that bringing your children down to Bourbon Street for any particular reason is a good idea, especially at night. Like, I always wonder about those people who bring their kids down to Bourbon Street with all the titties that are flowing around out there, with all the alcohol that is being consumed down there, with the possibility for fights to happen down there, for people to think that that is a perfect place for their children to be. It is not. It is not. Stop bringing y'all kids down to Bourbon Street. I mean, I can see like earlier in the day when you want to go like on a tour and talk about the history of New Orleans and stuff like that. And yeah, that's all good. But when the party is going on, your kids ain't got no place being down there, man. Real talk. Like, I don't know what the hell thought, what made y'all think that that was something that was parent worthy or good parent worthy, so to speak. So yeah, man, the Red Dress Run is my shit. Like, and then on top of that, man, I could tell I was messed up because I, like I had to rush back to our hotel room. Right. And I had to use the restroom and like my pants were all messed up and stuff. And no, I didn't piss or shit myself, but my pants had stains on them. So I went to change clothes. And, so I went and I threw all my shit in the washing machine, only to realize that I had my wallet in there, I had an extra battery pack for my cell phone in there, and, like, I thought I lost my debit card, because I thought the washing machine ate my debit card up. What happened was my debit card was in a different part of my wallet that I normally keep it from, right? So that's where that confusion came in. But I was worried, like, I lost the battery pack. Like, I was fucked up. I was like, yo, man, Samsung Pay got to come through because I ain't got no debit card. Like, I did a live video on that shit too, man, because I was like, yo, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay for shit, right? And I'm out of town. I'm far from home. How the hell am I going to pay for shit? Samsung need to come through with the Samsung Pay. And it was cool, man. Like, I really enjoyed myself. I always enjoy myself, and the food is amazing, man. For any of you guys who go to New Orleans, I have a recommendation for you when it comes to food. Check out Dini Seafood in the French Quarter, man. And I hate that I'm forgetting the street that Dini's is on, but if you're in the French Quarter, somebody could tell you where it's at. It's good, man. It is good. Like, I went there like 3 or 4 times while I was there, man. I got catfish and gumbo. They had like this crawfish like platter, right? So I got like crawfish etouffee, and then I got like a crawfish au gratin, and then I had like fried crawfish, and then it was like some like crawfish hush puppies, like, man, like what they call them, crawfish croquettes. That's what it was, crawfish croquettes. Like, those were like good. Like, all of it was good, man. And it was like, I had a thing for like shrimp and grits. I had got shrimp and grits down, you know. I love going down there for the food and the drink, man. Every time I go, it's always a good time. And I appreciate my wife and my in-laws for introducing this to me in my life, man. I don't know what the hell was going on before, but it was great. It was awesome, right? So, yeah, that happened. And another weird thing kind of happened too, though, right? So I'm in New Orleans, and I'm having a good time in New Orleans. And it rained and stuff like that while we were in New Orleans. But I had absolutely no clue what was going on in Baton Rouge, right? Now, I was looking at the radar and stuff like that while I was there, because it was pretty much forecasting for rain every day while we were down there, and it looked as if, like, the rain, like, the whatever storm system that was just taking a rotating sit, like, it just sat in that one area and just rotated counterclockwise, and it wasn't going anywhere. And I'm, like, in the midst of, like, doing the red dress run and the party surrounding that, and trying to find out what I want to eat and trying to find out what I want to bring home and stuff like that. Like, I had absolutely no clue what was going on in Baton Rouge. And I didn't know anything about it, partly because, for one, nobody on my timeline was talking about it, not on Facebook, not on Twitter. I didn't see a whole lot of people talking about it. And then on top of that, I wasn't really watching the news. So I didn't know that there was a flood of that magnitude going on a few miles away, and it was of that magnitude. Like, I had no clue, and I didn't find out until I got home. I was back here in Detroit, and they were talking about, yo, there's a flood warning here in Detroit. And I'm like, well, damn, right? And so I felt like a dick afterwards, right? Like, man, here I am bitching about it raining and stuff like that, and people are flooding out, you know, down there in Baton Rouge, man. And it was interesting just to see the disconnect. Like, there was a bit of a disconnect there. Like, the media wasn't really reporting on it as much as you would have thought they would have been. I didn't see many people talking about it, partly because maybe they didn't know, because the media wasn't telling anybody a whole lot about what was going on in Baton Rouge until, you know, it was as bad as it was. You know, like, it was, I felt like a dick when I came back home, man, simply because I was unaware that in the midst of me trying to have all of that fun, that not too far away from me, there were people who were losing everything. So, yeah, man, that was sobering. That was sobering to kind of get you out of the Bourbon Street haze, so to speak, right? But, you know, prayers to everyone who were dealing with that in Baton Rouge, man. You know, I know they were talking about, like, people were talking about President Obama not being down there. This is President Obama's Katrina, that the way in which he hasn't been there in New Orleans, I'm sorry, in Baton Rouge, in Louisiana, that he should have been there. And I had a friend of mine who was talking about how many days it's been since he's been there. He was tabulating between Obama and George Bush to see if they were tied. And then I'm reading elsewhere where, like, you know, the reason that Obama had not come to Louisiana was because the governor requested that he not come to Louisiana because of the logistical nightmare that could create trying to secure President Obama and also go forward with rescue efforts and restorative efforts. So, yeah, man, it's a mess. It's a mess. I came back home. It was so much shit going on, man. Like, there was the floods in Baton Rouge. Then there was the police shooting up in Milwaukee and people rioting in Milwaukee. Like, so much shit. So much shit. So, I definitely got a rude awakening when I came back home from vacation. Let's just put it like that. Right? But, yeah, man, I got some random thoughts. I got a couple random thoughts that I kind of wanted to run past you guys, and I'm wondering if these are something that you guys think about as well, right? So, one of the things, being, you know, somewhat of a tech person like I am, you know, I'm really into, like, the consumer technology. I'm really into cell phones and computers and, like, video games and all of this stuff, right? I'm really into a lot of it, and I read up on it. I watch videos on it. I try to stay abreast of the newest shit that's coming out, like smartwatches, all of that stuff. I'm into everything. So one of the drawbacks of that is that when you are into that kind of stuff is that you are the one that people come to when they want to know about some new shit, right? When it comes to the tech stuff, right? And so at work, I've got the reputation of being one of, I'm the tech guy. Everybody knows, like, this dude knows everything about computers, which is not true, but, like, I know a little bit more than most of the guys that I work with. So one of the things that happens is, like, I've been getting inundated with, like, questions about the Amazon Fire Stick, or should I say the jailbroken Amazon Fire Sticks, right? And a lot of these guys are asking me, like, yo, Span, you know, what's up with those Fire Sticks, man? You know anything about those Fire Sticks? And I really don't. I really don't. And part of the reason why, man, like, I get it that, you know, it's like you sideload a program on there, and the program is allowing you to watch, you know, shows and movies and things like that. And you don't have to pay for nothing, right? And that's what folks are like. That's the draw. That is the draw to it, right? Pay somebody $50 to $100 for this Fire Stick, and you can watch all the shit you want and don't have to pay for nothing, right? And I am far removed from, like, the bootlegging span, right? I remember there was a time where, like, I would patronize the bootleg man. At one point in time, your man Span downloaded some shit too and used to sell it, right? Not anymore. Right? But like, one of the reasons why, like, I stopped was because, for one, you can't complain if the shit is fucked up, because you're not supposed to be having it anyway. And then two, content creators have made it so easy for you to purchase their material legally, right? So easy. Well, you don't have to necessarily bootleg shit. You can get the shit and just pay for it, right? Now, I get it. Some people are like, man, I ain't got money to be paying for all of this shit, man. Like, you know, like, HBO Go account, that's like $15. And Hulu is like $8. And Netflix is another $10, $11, man. Like, that shit start adding up. And the thing that the thing that I always kind of push back on it with that is this. People find money for the shit that they want to spend money on, right? When you want to go to the club and kick it, you're going to find the money to get in the club. So, because sometimes there's a cover. So there's $10 to $15 you may have to pay for cover. Then there's maybe another $20 to $40 that you're going to pay for you to get yourself some drinks, or to possibly buy somebody else a drink. And you're going to probably spend maybe another $10 to $15 to get yourself something to eat that night, right? Now, you just went off and spent close to 70, you know, almost 70 bucks for one night of entertainment, right? And by paying Hulu $8 to $11, Netflix $8 to $11, I think it went up to like 10 bucks, and HBO Go is another like 14, 15 bucks, you're not nowhere near the $70 that you thought you almost spent to go out for one night on one weekend. And you getting this, and you getting all of this content. And so they made it so easy to where you can watch this stuff. Like, you can watch it wherever, on your phone, on your tablet, on your TV, at any time you want. At any time you want. Like, even if there's a channel, right? If there's, like, a channel that I don't have on my cable, I can literally go on my phone and find that episode in either the Google Play Store or in the Apple the iTunes store, right? Those episodes are literally in there. You can buy single episodes. If you don't want to buy the whole season, buy single episodes. A single episode may run you $3, $4. So it's not as if you don't have the money to spend. Just say you don't want to spend the money. And, like, make no mistake, just because you got Netflix and you got Hulu and you also got yourself a Fire Stick, it's still stealing, nigga. Like, like people are trying to give themselves, like, these outs, right? This legit bootlegger. Like, they trying to give themselves these outs. Well, I pay for Netflix and I pay for Hulu, but all I get this other shit for free, though. Like, come on, bruh. Pay for that shit. And I guess, like, my attitude towards it has really changed as I became a content creator. Now, I'm not even charging anybody for my shit. But if I were to charge anybody for the content that I put out, I would like for me to be able to make money off of the content that I'm putting out and not somebody else make money off of the shit that I'm putting out and I'm not seeing a dime of it. And that's what a lot of that Fire Stick shit is, what the bootleg man shit is. The motherfuckers are making money off of the shit that I created and I'm not seeing no money off of it. And that's bullshit. So as a content creator, I'm looking at the entire scenario a bit differently than someone who may, you know, I guess you can call a consumer, right? Because a consumer is just like, yo, man, I just want to take this shit in. I want to watch this shit. I want to be entertained by it. But they don't see value in it. They don't see the work that goes behind what those content creators, they don't see the work that the content creators put in outside of them being entertained. And they don't feel like they have to compensate them for that. So yeah, man, these Amazon Fire Sticks, man, please stop asking me about them. Please. I see it like up and down my timeline. Like, anybody got the hookup on Fire Sticks? Like, y'all want the hookup on the hookup. Like, niggas are terrible. Like, niggas are like, yo, who got the hookup on them Fire Sticks? Hey, my man charged them $50 for them. Man, $50? Shit, I get to you for $25. Niggas want the hookup on the hookup. So yeah, man, don't ask me about no goddamn Fire Sticks no more. Just don't, right? And another thing too, man, I had an experience that I think is going to be contrary to most black folks, right? I think this may just be an unpopular black opinion. God damn it. Let's try this again. I'm rusty, y'all. Yeah, man. So we're in the airport, me and my wife, on our way to New Orleans, and we find out that the Detroit Metro Airport has a Chick-fil-A in it. Now, I've never had Chick-fil-A. I have heard many great things about Chick-fil-A over the years, as far as their food is concerned, and, you know, some of their political stances, maybe not so much, right? And it was funny because I remember when Chick-fil-A had a stance about gay marriage, and they're not supporting it, or they were funding efforts to fight it or some shit like that. It's been a while. And folks were talking about boycotting Chick-fil-A behind it. And I'm like, well, you know, that's kind of easy for me to boycott. We ain't got one here. So, you know, I ain't got nothing to worry about. But there's a Chick-fil-A here at the Detroit Metro Airport, right? And so, like, all this time I've been hearing folks talk about how the Chick-fil-A is the greatest shit since sliced bread. Like, the chicken biscuits are the bomb. Like, I've been hearing this for years, right? And my wife was really excited when she saw the Chick-fil-A, because she's had Chick-fil-A before. She told me, like, it was really good. So I have this thing, man, where when I've been hearing about a certain thing for so long, about how great this thing is, I typically am wary. Because a lot of times the hype doesn't necessarily, or the actual product doesn't necessarily live up to the hype. And so I got the chicken biscuit, and what happened was I was terribly afraid that this chicken biscuit wasn't going to be as good. And God damn it, the chicken biscuit was kind of bland. And I'm going to go out on the limb and say this, that Chick-fil-A is a tad bit overrated. Yo, man, Popeyes could have gave me a better chicken biscuit. Like, give me a Popeyes chicken strip on a biscuit, man, and I'm good. Spicy, preferably, right? Popeyes is better than Chick-fil-A, from what I've had, right? Now, I don't know How many of you guys don't have Popeyes, but you got Chick-fil-A? And how many of you guys don't have Chick-fil-A, but you got Popeye? However that shit works. But I'm saying, like, if I had a choice between chicken biscuit, between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, goddamn it, I'm taking Popeyes all day long. Like, real talk, man, it wasn't even close. Wasn't even close, man. That Chick-fil-A biscuit was bland. God, it was bland, man. Why y'all hyping that shit up so much? Got me all out here disappointed and shit, man. I had my mouth all set for a good chicken biscuit, and goddamn it, it wasn't even that good. What's wrong with y'all, man? All right, man. But, yeah, man. So, I got this new thing, right, that I want to do. And I want to start doing these stories where, we start talking about, I want to start doing these stories where I start talking about some strange sexual shit, right? And I want to make it a segment. Call it Sexy Time, right? So, I'm going to introduce you guys to the new Spare Report bit. Not even bit, but segment. We got Sexy Time with Mr. Span.
Yeah, baby. It's Sexy Time with Mr. Span.
All right, now, today's Sexy Times. Today's Sexy Time, we got a story, man, coming out of Ohio, man. And there was this dude named Michael William Henson, 35 years old. And Michael was trying to have sex with his van, right? So check this out. Talk about someone being all up in someone's grill. A man in Dayton, Ohio is facing indecency charges after a witness reported seeing him attempt to have sex with the front grill of a van parked on the street. Officers responding to a call Tuesday evening found the suspect, 35-year-old Michael Henson, wearing only a pair of black shorts and black shoes, according to NBC4, which cited a police report. Henson was taken into custody and put in the back of a squad car while officers spoke to female witnesses. She said she saw Henson pull down his shorts and then put his genitals into the front grill of a red van parked on the side of the road. When the suspect passed out in the front yard near the van, the woman called police. Henson woke up and was walking before police came to the scene. Officers who questioned him said he appeared to be intoxicated. Police contacted the owner of the van, who allegedly said he was unaware of any incident. Henson was booked on public indecency charges and taken to the Montgomery County Jail, where he remained on $2,500 bond until his arraignment on Wednesday, according to the Dayton Daily News. Now, I'm going to show you guys a picture, this picture here, of of Michael Henson, man. Check this out. Check this dude out. He looks like he wanted to have sex with that van. He looked like he really, really, really enjoyed trying to have sex with that van, man. That's nasty. That's just nasty. Yeah, man. So, yeah, Michael Henson is the first person featured on Sexy Time with Mr. Spank. Oh, man, that is fucking weird. That's just fucking weird, man. Okay. Now, let's go. Let's move on, man. Let's move on. Now, we've gotten word, man, out of these Olympics. These have been some pretty eventful Olympics, right? We've gotten word that Ryan Lochte, who is a United States swimmer, probably like he's second fiddle to Michael Phelps, right? Like, this dude has been like, he's a really great swimmer, but he has been the victim of being a great swimmer in a time where the greatest swimmer of all time was also active in Michael Phelps. So he's kind of like that second fiddle kind of dude, right? And he and some other swimmers, I'm not even going to go and try to find these guys' names, but these dudes decided that they were going to go to, they went to a gas station where, like, somehow they ended up pissing on the floor and breaking a door and fighting with a security guard. But they told the world that they were robbed at gunpoint in Rio. And the reaction to this story has been one of two extremes, right? Because we got news that, you know, we started seeing some of the reaction that Gabby Douglas? Oh, shit. Come on. Okay, babe, you're on your way home. Okay. Now, where, like, she didn't put her hand over her heart during the national anthem, and people were all up in her shit. People were being really disrespectful. People were calling her unpatriotic, calling her ugly American, not grateful for where she is, and all of this stuff. And then you have Ryan Lochte do this kind of shit, go over to a foreign country, act a complete ass, and people are just trying to make it out like, oh, you know, this is something people do. Like, you know, he if you think about it, man, he was just scared, you know, like he didn't know what to do. It's like making all these fucking excuses for this dude. And he's like basically the living, walking embodiment of the ugly American, right? And like after a while, man, it's gonna get to a point where people are just gonna start asking Ryan Lochte,
why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Ryan Lochte gonna be like, they gonna ask Ryan Lochte, how old are you? He's gonna be like, I'm 32. And they gonna be like,
why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Ryan Lochte, what do you do for your career? Well, I'm a Olympic swimmer.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Ryan Lochte, how old were you when you first lost your virginity? I was 18.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Basically, it's going to get to a point where nobody's believing a goddamn thing Ryan Lochte says ever again in life, right? And it's amazing how folks are just kind of giving this shit a pass. I saw a video clip earlier today with, Al Roker and, what's this dude's name? Bush? One of those dudes from one of those entertainment magazine TV shows or whatever. And he's, like, basically, Al Roker is like, he's just totally over this dude trying to minimize what Ryan Lochte did. And so many people try to minimize what Ryan Lochte did. And that's fucked up. Like these, like some of his, like his friends had to pay $10,000 just to get back home because they would like, they got caught up. They got caught up, man. It was fucking weird, man. Like the whole thing, like to have this story just kind of blow up where it's national news that, hey, Ryan Lochte was held at gunpoint and robbed in Rio de Janeiro, only to find out, no, Ryan Lochte made that shit all the way up to cover up for the fact that he was just being a complete fucking dickhead, man. So yeah, fuck that guy, fuck Ryan Lochte, and fuck all of those dudes who went over there lying on those people in Rio to try to cover their own ass, man. Real talk. Now, another thing happened this week, man. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Bill Cosby's lawyer, Monique Pressley, is no longer representing him. You niggas gonna have to find somebody else to, you know, kind of champion now, right? All you motherfuckers who were apologists for Bill Cosby and were using her as an example of a black woman supporting a black man in his time of need and all this other shit. Nah, bruh. Nah. She ain't with him no more. And it's funny because it's coming on the heels of the fact that Bill Cosby has been losing quite a bit in court over the last few weeks, right? So I'm going to read this here from the New York Times. And in this story, it says that in a legal reshuffle, Monique Pressley, a lawyer for Bill Cosby, who became something of a public face for the entertainer in his battle against allegations of sexual assault made by many women, is no longer representing him in any pending legal cases. Court filings this week show Ms. Pressley had been replaced by another lawyer, Angela Agrusa, in a civil case in California, and Mr. Cosby's spokesman, Andrew Wyatt, confirmed that Ms. Pressley was no longer representing Mr. Cosby in any other civil or criminal matters. Mr. Wyatt would not comment on the reasons for this change, but he praised Ms. Presley and said it was not uncommon for people involved with high-profile law cases to change their legal representation. We get hundreds of calls from lawyers who want to be involved in this case, he said. Yeah, because they want the fucking money. They want the money. Come on, let's not be fucking, let's not be stupid about this, man. Let's see. Ms. Presley declined to comment. Let's see. The move follows legal defeats and pretrial motions by Mr. Cosby's team to try to stop a criminal case against him in Pennsylvania, where he is facing sexual assault charges, from moving forward. Another lawyer who had featured prominently in his defense in the pretrial hearings withdrew in July. Last October, Mr. Cosby, who also replaces longtime lawyer Martin D. Singer. Ms. Presley began representing Mr. Cosby last summer, her appointment marking the start of a more vigorous public defense around the time of the publications of details of a legal deposition Mr. Cosby had given 10 years earlier. She defended him in television interviews, appearing with him in public and accompanying him in hearings in the criminal case in Pennsylvania. She also questioned witnesses in the courtroom, but while she had a high profile in the news media, she took more of a back seat to other lawyers on Mr. Cosby's team in court. Now, one, this goes to show that for all of you who are not paying attention, who think that just because you don't see this all over the news all day long anymore, that this case is going away or Mr. Cosby has somehow gotten away with this. No, this case is still being litigated. This case hasn't even gone to trial yet. He's switching up lawyers now. Now, Ms. Presley has declined to comment. Right. It would be very interesting to hear her reasoning as to why she no longer wants to be represent him, or whether or not Cosby decided he didn't want her no longer representing him. It would be interesting to hear both of those perspectives. But at the end of the day, that case is still going on. That case is still going on. And it's noteworthy that Monique Presley is not the face of that defense, because so many people were championing her being the face of the legal defense team for Bill Cosby. It's just unfortunate that for her, she chose to, in my opinion, it's unfortunate to see her pick a case like that, in which you're trying to discredit so many female victims and so many people who have had interactions with this man and said that, you know, and said that he had assaulted them in some sort of way. And just basically to see her use, to see Bill Cosby try to use another woman to besmirch the character of other women for his own personal gain, man. That's the thing that's most disappointing about it to me, man. But outside of that, yeah, Monique Presley has moved on from representing Bill Cosby, right? And that kind of segues us into what's going on with Nate Parker, right? Now, with Nate Parker, as you guys know, he is the writer, director, actor who has this movie, The Birth of a Nation, coming out this October. And in this movie, the movie is about Nat Turner, who was the former slave who led the largest slave revolt in the history of America. Really powerful film, right? I haven't seen the film, but from based on the trailers, man, I was very excited. Like, I cannot wait to see this film. Like, it looked powerful from the trailers, right? From what I've seen of it, I'm very excited. I want to see this movie, right? It's a story that needs to be told. It's a slave movie, but it's a slave movie that everybody wants to get behind now, right? Because I can remember when we just had Snoop Dogg was just bitching and moaning about the fact that Roots was being rebooted and we getting tired of these slave narratives and everything else. But now everybody is saying, you know, we need to support this film, right? It's interesting how these narratives kind of switch up, so to speak, right? But I really did want to see this movie. And then allegations that Nate Parker may have participated in a sexual assault in college back in 1999 resurfaced, right? Now, the thing about this is that this isn't new information, right? This isn't new information. The information has actually been notated on his Wikipedia page for quite some time. It was actually brought up around the time he was promoting the movie, Beyond the Lights, right? So this isn't new information for those who have been paying attention, right? But a lot of the story around why this is becoming a thing now is because, you know, a lot of folks are saying, well, you know, why are they bringing this up now with this movie? They didn't bring it up any other time. And I want you guys to kind of take heed to this, right? Nate Parker is on the cusp of becoming a really big deal, right? And with that comes an added level of scrutiny that you don't necessarily get when you're not as big a deal, right? So take, for instance, Barack Obama. Everything that Barack Obama does as president is magnified. His decisions are magnified because they affect so many people, and so many people have to deal with the ramifications of that. When it comes to Hollywood stars, the bigger your name, the more people pay attention to you, the more that, you know, the more shit that happens to you in your personal life becomes news, right? So the fact that on the cusp of this movie, with the buzz that it's getting and the way his name is spreading across the world, or at least across the U.S., he's getting this attention because he's becoming a big deal. The bigger deal you become, the more attention people pay to you. I don't believe that there's some sort of conspiracy to get Nate Parker's character besmirched because he was bringing about this film. You have to understand, like, this dude had this film made. He made it independently. He showed it at the Sundance Film Festival, got a $17.5 million distribution deal from Fox Searchlight. Fox Searchlight wants to recoup that money. They want a return on their investment. Okay? Make no mistake, the powers that be, the mysterious them, or the, you know, like, this idea that they were waiting in the wings for this shit to happen and then they were going to spring this out. Now, come on, man. Y'all got to stop with that. Y'all really do. This information was public information. Now, it's interesting in how I wouldn't even necessarily say interesting. I think the difference is now we have a different attitude about sexual assault than we do when this happened, right? So you take a look at the case and you see that Nate Parker wasn't convicted, but his homeboy was, and both of them had sex with her at the same time. And part of the reason why Nate Parker was acquitted was the fact that he had sex with her before. That was a reasoning. They had prior sexual contact that was consensual, so therefore it was impossible for him to have raped her in that particular moment in time. But his friend is convicted of rape, only to later have it overturned, and witnesses declining to comment, the rape victim declining, not wanting to have to go through that shit over again. And then they walk away. It's like, yo, I was exonerated. And I see a lot of brothers talking about this. Yo, man, he got acquitted, man. Like, you got to leave that shit alone, bro. Like, he was already put to rest, man. Like, you can't keep relitigating this shit, man. Like, if he was acquitted, what does it mean to be acquitted if you're going to keep bringing the shit up? You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, man, I want you to take that same advice when you talk about George Zimmerman, when you talk about Daniel Pantaleo, when you talk about the officer who killed Walter Scott, when you talk about the officers who were seen on video beating the shit out of Rodney King, when you talk about R. Kelly, who we seen pissing on that little girl. I want you to take that same level of confidence in the justice system when you see that shit. Right? Now, it's not to say that, you know, you only do this when, like, it's, you know, like, of course, the justice system is flawed. Is flawed. And so for us to act as if the justice system is now above reproach because it found Nate Parker not guilty in this particular sense, I think is a bit of a foolhardy line of thinking. That's just me. But that's what a lot of people are kind of rolling with right now, that he was found not guilty, right? But of course, when these instances happen and we talk about sexual assault and things like that, again, man, things start kind of going down gender lines, right? And so I want you guys to take a look at this discussion, right? There's a discussion that was being had on News One Now. It was Roland Martin's show. And they were discussing Nate Parker, and they were discussing some of the things go around the case. But I want you to kind of, I want you guys to kind of pay attention to how this conversation is being had and the dynamics around it. We're going to kind of examine this a little bit. So check this out.
His life and the life of this
doesn't actually say anything about the experiences of this woman and
you know what? I think this is a fair point.
Millions of other men
Avis mentioned something that I hadn't heard. You said that this young lady was harassed.
Yes.
I didn't see the Vanity Fair article.
Two interviews you did, Variety and Deadline.
Okay. I didn't see any of those. But since then, it seems as though he has come to his senses and he mentioned something that is very important. Empathy. Empathy for this young lady who obviously had a tragic event, although he believes himself to be innocent and the court of law actually agrees with him.
Right?
But the court of law actually
agrees with him.
So why are we relitigating a case that he was already proven innocent of?
But again, I'm not talking about relitigating whether or not Nate Parker was guilty or was convicted under the law. I'm talking about litigating this issue, taking this as an opportunity, because frankly, sexual assault is a part of Black history. It truly is.
Sexual assault is American history. Let's not separate Black folks from everybody else.
Now notice, there's a pushback instantly when these women bring up sexual assault in the Black community. From these dudes, like from the men on the panel. Just notice how quickly there's that instant pushback from these men on the panel concerning when women are talking about sexual assault in the Black community. This is an American problem. We start becoming the things that we say we hate. Watch.
Let's be very honest. Sexual assault is the reason I'm the color I am. Let's just be very clear about that. There are no interracial marriages in my background. Let me be very clear about that.
I've seen The Birth of a Nation, and two of the most powerful scenes in the movie deal with the issue of rape. Clear.
It wouldn't be difficult to talk about sexual assault and slavery, because as you just said, they kind of go together.
Absolutely.
But I think we're falling for something here. Here I go with the conspiracy things that you get on my case about, Roland.
Okay. Here comes Super Black.
No, this comes Super Fat.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, it's really peculiar that on the heels of the release of this particular type of film, all this drama is going on. If you pull back the curtains on a lot of people in Hollywood who are making films, including people like Woody Allen, who married and raped his own daughter, stepdaughter, and Roman Polanski, raper, you'll find all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, first of all, factually, Roman Polanski pled guilty to rape and fled the country.
Exactly.
And has been
But my point is that he's still held in glory. That's my point. My point is that Polanski is still held in glory. That's a great filmmaker, and it's not a whole lot of talk about what he actually did. So I want to make sure I'm real clear in terms of my point. But the point I want to make here is that Hollywood, in terms of the human beings that make the films, are full of flawed people.
Absolutely.
So the point I want us to get here is that we got to see this film about Nat Turner and do not allow this interesting dilemma that has come up right before the film's release to get in the way of the importance of knowing this man's life and who he was in this country.
Okay,
we're talking about
that's
exactly
that's
what we're doing. We're saying that this guy is guilty in the court of public opinion.
We should not talk about the fact.
I want to pause this really quick. Can you notice the dynamic of how, when these women are talking about sexual assault and the discussion around it, how there seems to be a bit of like the pushback? There's a gender war going on right in front of us as we talk about this subject. These, like, the brothers on this particular panel aren't really trying to hear what these women are saying. They're actively pushing back on the notion of sexual assault and how we talk about it and how we address it. And they're really not trying to hear what these sisters are saying. It's just watch.
That police officers kill Black folks on a day to day and don't get acquitted all the time. If we know that the system is rigged, then why are we basing our conversations about how we treat each other, about how we engage with each other, about accountability for each other and to each other based on this system that we know is
flawed? Gianna responded, Ava's and Cleo.
So I would say we know that the criminal justice system oftentimes has marginalized African Americans, disenfranchise African Americans to a great degree. Mm-hmm. This it's individual
flawed, you just
is a black against black men, right?
You just said this no, individual you just said the women. System is flawed.
Absolutely, yeah, there, it has been, it has
okay,
a history
so
of being flawed and marginalizing
why
black people.
Why is that but if the I, arbiter? If why I, is that if guilty finish, or not guilty? The decision.
If I may finish,
please finish.
In some cases, mm-hmm. we get a good verdict, one based on fact.
Oh wow! So you're deciding. You're deciding that. Well, this was the one case where there was a good verdict. So we don't have to talk about it anymore?
Okay. No, I'm saying that.
First of all, let's talk about these things in a broader context. Okay, the reality is nearly two-thirds of black women have been a victim of sexual assault at some point in her life. As a black community, we have to deal with that.
Gabrielle,
we
you
have
one
to
second,
deal
one
with
second,
that.
One second, Ava's finished.
Brushing that under the rug and telling black women that you have to somehow push down the fact that you're a woman to prove that you are good enough to be considered black. Now, here is the reality. We have to make sure that I think that as this thing goes to college campuses, frankly, I don't think you need to conflate the two. Mm-hmm. But much like how the NFL did investments around domestic violence after they had what happened there last year, I think there needs to be some investments
by
Fox Searchlight, whoever bought this movie and decided to support this, probably knowing that this was in the background, or either Nate Parker himself needs to invest in the community
absolutely.
Around educating people around sexual assault
lost,
and do that
man.
As a separate and ongoing event.
Lost.
That occurs across the country in addition to promoting
Cleo.
I think the idea of Nate Parker doing a sexual assault tour is ridiculous. He's not an expert just because he was. He's not an expert because he was in court and found not guilty for an apparent sexual assault. And also, I'm frustrated with this idea of that only black women get raped. Black people get raped. And black men get raped. And because of patriarchy, the embarrassment and humiliation about male being raped, we don't hear about it. And it's put under the rug much more than women get raped. Matter of fact, there's some studies that say that men get raped as much as women. So who are you going to listen to? The bottom line is that that's another issue that has not been brought to the point. So let's not act like only one group gets raped. Rape is horrible no matter who it occurs to. But let's separate these things.
All right. Now, notice how that conversation shifted. Notice how when these sisters were talking about women being the victims of sexual assault, suddenly this brother felt that it was important that he shifts the dynamic right back to the plight of the brothers. That's quintessential hotepiness, man, of the highest order. Quintessential hotepiness, making it about you again, making it about brothers being the victim again, in a sense where we're not even talking about brothers being victims, but making brothers victims in this particular instance. It's like, come on, man. Dudes, for whatever, like, dudes have this thing where we can't necessarily see anything outside of our own experience. We can't let go of it. We can't empathize with anybody else's. We have to make sure that we make the shit about us. That's the problem. That's why a lot of people look at what we say sideways. That's why you got a lot of sisters who are looking at brothers sideways. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. In this particular instance, you want to take a conversation about sexual assault and the sexual assault of women and then try to flip it and make it about the sexual assault of men and who has it worse. Petty, man. Petty. But getting back to, like, you know, this idea of, like, with Nate Parker, right? Because, you know, when you think about, you know, the details of the case and whether or not he's guilty or not guilty and the circumstances surrounding it where he's having a, like, pretty much a gangbang or running a train on a woman, and this woman calls him to say that she doesn't remember what the hell happened. Could you tell me what happened to me that night? And if you, like, there's a portion of the transcript of a phone call where Nate was talking to this woman and she's basically trying to find out what happened, and he's talking really vaguely, trying to see if he can, you know, maybe fill in the story or mold the story along with her, so, like, because she doesn't remember. Like, if you really read that context, if you read the context of that transcript, he's being very vague in that conversation. He's not really saying anybody's name. He's not really giving any definitive answers. The only time he gets any real definitive is when he talks about her having a dick in her mouth. That's it. Really vague. And you know, like, I see a lot of brothers, man. I talked about this a lot, especially concerning, like, we were talking about Bill Cosby and stuff a lot last year. And I talked about this when it comes to consent and all of that. And once again, predictably, there's a lot of brothers who are, you know, in defense of Nate Parker in the same way that they were in defense of Bill Cosby. And it's like a reflex. It's like a reflex. All of a sudden, everybody knows somebody who was falsely accused of rape. All of a sudden, everybody knows these bitches be lying, man. Right? And I want you guys to kind of pay attention to those dudes. Because some of the most vehement defenses of not only Bill Cosby, but of Nate Parker as well, are coming from dudes who have probably done that shit. And they're not defending Bill Cosby or Nate Parker for their benefit. They're defending Nate Parker and Bill Cosby by proxy. They're defending themselves because they know they know somebody who's done that shit. They've participated in that shit, and they don't want to be seen as a rapist or as someone who has committed sexual assault. And I said this last year when we're talking about Bill Cosby. A lot of these dudes are just defending themselves. Like, yo, if what Bill Cosby did, if what Nate Parker did is what y'all call rape now, nigga, that make me a rapist. And because that would make me a rapist, nah, that ain't rape. She knew what she was doing. I was fucked up too. We was both fucked up. The conversation starts becoming very murky. A lot of the dudes that you know who are, and I'm not saying, and I want to be very fucking clear. Not every dude who is defending Nate Parker or Bill Cosby is a rapist or has participated in these things. But I will, but you have to wonder, right? You have to wonder. Because when you think about it, when you talk about 66% of black women having been a victim of sexual assault at some point in their life, it's a whole, they didn't do it to themselves. It's a whole lot of dudes walking around here who have assaulted women and don't want to call it assault, don't want to talk about it, or they want to minimize it. They want to normalize it. Well, all we did was had drinks and, you know, went back to my place and had a good time. You done that before, right? Well, yeah, man, she was being real frisky and stuff, man. You know, like, I figured it was time to get down. You know what I'm saying? Shit, that's what we do, right, nigga? You know? That's the attitude that a lot of dudes have, man. So I want you to be wary. Be wary of the dudes with the vehement defenses of supposed allegations of rape. Right? And I know I'm gonna get this too, right? Because, like, folks, well, where's the woman's responsibility in that particular instance? Like, well, she shouldn't get fucked up, you know, like, she shouldn't go out somewhere and get drunk and stuff like that, and that kind of shit would happen to, like, okay, she should, maybe none of us should get drunk, but that doesn't mean that because we get drunk that something should happen to us that we didn't want to, or that we didn't consent to, or that we didn't plan for to happen. I need that to be very clear. We need to stop coming up with these bullshit caveats as to why an alleged sexual assault was okay. And this is the reason why so many women don't come forward and don't say anything immediately. Because the world is telling them they lying. The world is saying, it's so many of you hoes out here lying, we can't trust none of y'all. The world is saying, hey, shut the fuck up. The world is saying, but this movie is so important, we have to see it. Truth be told, man, like, as much as I wanted to see this movie, man, like, I'm not really pressed about it like that much anymore. Like, I've read about Nat Turner. I read about Nat Turner in high school, man. Like, I read about a lot of this shit in high school. This isn't new information for me. I thought it would have been great to see it on film, to see this movie made. I can't say that I'm going to see it now. As much as I wanted to, I can't say that I'm going to see it based off of my principle. based off of my principles. I had a guy ask me earlier, like last, what was that? Earlier this week, was like, yo, well, it's a whole lot of shit you're going to have to give up if that's going to be your criteria. It was like, well, I don't think you listen to my show, do you? There's a whole lot of shit I just won't necessarily co-sign. And sometimes co-signing means spending dollars with the person I don't particularly like. If I have the choice to not spend my dollars with people that I don't want, that I don't like, then damn it, that's my choice. Now, I'm going to say this. If you want to see that movie, I'm not going to tell you not to. You know, like, eh. Because, I mean, I get that, you know, for a lot of people that this movie has, you know, like the historical value for a lot of folks, it trumps the sexual assault value, so to speak. Because let's also make this clear, man. There is a segment of the population where you just have to say that, yo, man, sexual assault doesn't really bother me all that much. That's not my breaking point. That's not my line. We see it with R. Kelly. We see it with Roman Polanski. We see it with Woody Allen. Like, there are certain things where people are willing to forgive. Like, they just like, yo, that's just, it is not that big a deal for me. Keep it 100. Keep it funky. Just tell people that. And stop coming up with these bullshit excuses as to why you believe that the patronage of certain projects by certain people is all right. Just say that you made up in your mind that these are certain things that you don't necessarily mind. Right? So, I got a poll question for you guys, man, that I kind of want to share with you. I want to know if you guys see Birth of a Nation in the theaters, right? So, go to thespanreport.com, go to this episode, Why You Always Lying, and vote in the poll. Yes, man, hell no, or I want to, but I'm not sure. There's three answers on there. Vote in the poll. Let me know what you guys are thinking about that. It's unfortunate where a movie like this with such a powerful message can be tainted by the actions of someone who, for whatever reason, decided to do what they did. Right? So, there it is. Hello, wife.
Hi.
Show fine self.
Okay.
All right, but yeah, man, let me get off of this, right? It's time for our ass hat of the week. And where is it?
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And today's ass hat of the week is none other than, hold on, let me pull this up. Jesus Christ, man, you have really been on vacation. Rudy Giuliani, right? Rudy Giuliani is the ass hat of the week this week. And I'm going to tell you guys why. Rudy Giuliani is stumping for Donald Trump, right? Rudy Giuliani is a former mayor of New York City. Rudy Giuliani is what you would call one of those, what they call it, what, law and order kind of guys. You know, like everything is, you know, the fault of the criminal or so-called criminals. Like, black folks ain't never caught a break. And it's because they are involved in so much bullshit, according to Rudy Giuliani, right? But Rudy Giuliani, in a bid to try to get Donald Trump elected president, decided that he was going to blame President Obama for Islamic extreme Islamic terrorism, right? That there were no instances in the 8 years prior to Obama being president of no instances of extreme Islamic terrorism, except that one time. Check this out, man. Hold on. Let me set this up for you guys. Check this out.
By the way, under those 8 years, before Obama came along, we didn't have any successful radical Islamic terrorist attack in the United States. They all started.
Uh-oh. Come on.
When Clinton and Obama got into office.
All that we know right now is that two airplanes struck the two large towers of the World Trade Center. We spoke to the White House. There also apparently was an attack on the Pentagon. We asked that the airspace around the city of New York be sealed by military aircraft. We've been informed that it has been, and we've seen military aircraft up in the air. So
We're hopeful that right now things are secure.
But
it is a very dangerous condition in southern Manhattan. The rescue efforts are going to take place all day. So everybody in southern Manhattan, if they can physically evacuate, should, and they should just walk directly north. Get beyond Canal Street, go as far north as you can.
Is it safe in those buildings right around Park and Church?
All of the buildings in southern Manhattan have to be evacuated. We're evacuating them now.
Mr. Mayor,
Either people on their own or with the help of the police department and the fire department.
All right. Rudy Giuliani forgot about that one big time that Islamic extremist terrorism happened before Obama was elected president. A good 6 years, 7 years before Obama was elected president. So yeah, man, because of that, Rudy Giuliani is the Spare Report Podcast Ass Hat of the Week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have our champs.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right, now our champ this week is we actually have three champs this week, man. We have Simone Biles, Simone Manuel, and Michelle Carter. All three of these sisters won gold medals in the Summer Games at the Olympics this year, right? Simone Biles, one of the more dominant gymnasts of all time. Michelle Carter, the first African-American woman to win in the shot put, win a gold medal in the shot put competition in the Olympics. And Simone Manuel won a gold medal in swimming, right? So many of these sisters excelling in these Olympics, man. Allyson Felix is the most decorated female track and field athlete of all time in the Olympics. So many of these sisters out there doing their fucking thing, man, representing, and should be rightfully acknowledged, man. So these three ladies, along with all of the others in the Olympics who are out there excelling, who are out there doing their thing, who are out there doing it despite all the odds, despite all of the backlash, despite all of the snide comments about their hair and what have you, are out there doing their thing, man. And I want to salute these sisters. So these, all of them, are champs of the week this week here on the Spare Report Podcast, man, real talk. But yeah, man, it is time for me to get up out of here, man. I got some things to do. As a matter of fact, a couple friends of mine, man, my friends Brian Vines and his wife, Ty Tanisha Odom, they're renewing their vows today. So I'm going to go and be a witness to that, man. That's going to be a good time. But before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. It's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also hit me up on the email at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Hit me up there. I'll read those emails and respond to those live here on the show as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So follow me there. Chop it up with me throughout the week. And go to the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook, man. Like that Mr. Span fan page. You can watch these shows right here on Facebook Live as you like the Mr. Span fan page, right? So go ahead, watch me from your phone, your tablet, your TV, your computer. Do that thing, man. Do that. And for all of your Spare Report needs, man, go to www.thesparereport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. The polls are there. You can donate to the show however much you want, how often you want. And it's always appreciated, man, real talk. And for those of you who are listening on Google Play, they don't have a review section yet. But for those of you who are listening on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, man, a 5-star review will be very much appreciated. Real talk, 5-star reviews get read here on the show as well, man. So yeah, man, it's time for me to roll out. I got some things to do, but I was glad to get back on the mic, man. It's been a couple weeks and I'm a little rusty, but I got to get back into this groove, right? So yeah, man, I'm going to talk to you guys again soon, but until then, peace.